Friends of Wabino from the city of Wabino. And our first reader is Ron.
And we'll just scroll through these work samples real quick. It's just a couple of digital images that were submitted of, it looks like, the artist that will be participating. Great.
There is a video as well.
Is there? So, Ron, you're the first reader on this one.
Okay, and everybody, what I really liked about this application was the number of different cultural ethnic groups that were being represented. So I really thought that was a strength. I really liked their commitment to evaluation. However, I kind of found the weaknesses being that they didn't have a good plan for how this art was going to be continued on into the future. So I thought that was a weak part of it. And then I thought the financial part was, you know, they didn't have a good finance person or whatever that was going to be overseeing the financial part of the project. And so overall, I found the application to be on the lower end.
Sorry, Ron, just to clarify on that one, the budget, like, there's not one person who will be responsible for keeping tabs on the finances. Is that what you mean there?
Yeah, I see that as a weakness, yes. And then the people, I don't see a real strong finance background in the people who are running it.
Okay. Any other comments on that one from you? Oh, sorry, go ahead. Destiny, you want to go ahead?
Sure. So I thought there was, like Ron mentioned, a nice range of artists, though looking at the demographics of the community, I was a little concerned that they hadn't done more outreach with the Potawatomi. They had 25% of the population in that area, and they're maybe one part of this Native American dance group, but I definitely think you could pull more from that culture than having them be one component of a dance group. And they must have some great resources in that area for Potawatomi artists. That was a major concern. Another was their budget double counts for money. In my estimation, if I was reading it right, it has if their schedule set like it seems to be, which I'm assuming, they have that they're going to pay 12 artists $150, but they have 12 total artists, and they're also paying the Native Dance Company and the Polka Band separately. So there seem to be double notations for paying people. Unless they have more artists they haven't confirmed yet in that spreadsheet that they nicely provided. I also I was impressed, I guess, bouncing back and forth what I liked and didn't like. I was impressed about this community group of people. They have lots of strong skill sets. It did seem like maybe the two folks heading up this folk arts section maybe weren't the best fit of the whole group, but I know how it is with volunteers. It's just wonderful they have that many volunteers at all, so I don't want to stress that too much. And I also thought that the artist sessions were a little too brief to be super meaningful and to do much more than a very cursory introduction to an art form. So I don't know how much this type of a venue can really sustain a folk art. But it does sound fun. It sounds like a fun day. So
Was there nothing in there about introducing people to ongoing sort of organizational structures and how to get involved in these things? I didn't see it. I just wasn't there.
Like how to get involved.
So I'm sort of agreeing with Destiny that it seems, and Ron as well, that there's like a wide array of arts being displayed and celebrated. And at the same time, it's like 1-hour slots or something
they also cross.
Yeah.
So you have to pick if you...
There's, like, overlap. So I guess my question is also about the sort of sustainability. Is there, and I'm wrong with saying this too, like, is there anything for the continuous? And I don't know if this is really part of our criteria, though. So on the, but it's part of how we think about what the point of the folk art celebration is for.
Sorry, can I jump in with that? So one of my concerns is also kind of the timeline of the event. There's a lot to pack in what is essentially a half a day. But I also recognize that for a lot of these sort of folk life festivals, this is a pretty tried and true model in which we have these shorter time periods. And it's, for better or worse, right, it's less focus on the continued vitality and more focus on enhancing appreciation if we're going to look at the goals of the creative communities. And that gets really tricky to do both in a folk life festival such as this. So I thought this was a pretty, very solid application considering the framework that they were working in. I do want to also echo, though, the concerns, the role of local native communities. I'd like to see a little bit more of that. We had the video, of course, but that was one of the things that kind of jumped out at me as well. But overall, I thought this was quite strong, working within the framework of a folk life festival for a day-long, half-day-long event.
Josh, do you have comments on this one?
Yeah, I thought overall this is a pretty strong application. I mean, yeah, I understand the concerns about it's only introducing people to something for an hour at a time, but I think what Marcus just said is that's the nature of the folk life festival. That's really sort of the purpose of these. I thought there was an impressive buy-in from the community on this. There's lots of small financial contributions from local companies and, like, the county government and stuff. It doesn't add up to a lot of money, but it's nice to... I thought there was a lot of community buy-in. In terms of the organization, I just want to mention this. It looks like it's a pretty brand new 501c3, so you might wonder whether they have the capacity to handle a grant and everything. But yeah, overall, I
thought. Thanks, Josh.